A cordless drill, a table saw, a power sander. If power tools are on your wish list this holiday season, or if you're planning to make some investments, we'll find out what tools are worth your money. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. Chances are pretty good that you've got a power tool or two stored in your garage, basement, or workshop. This hour, we'll take a peek into Bill's workshop to find out what tools he feels are essentials and what tools are just gathering dust. We also want to know about your must-have tool, and Bill will answer your questions about the home improvement projects in your life. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. We all have a weakness for something. It could be clothes, shoes, chocolates, cats. This show is for you if your weakness is power tools. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. Hello, Bill.
Might get the cat exhumer. Yeah, I could pull it out from underneath your deck. That's my favorite tool. Come here, kitty.
Well, we've got, a lot of people put power tools on their holiday wish lists. Yeah. Or a lot of people, when they go to the store, they don't intend to buy that new power saw, but then they come home with it.
Hey, it's at the end of the aisle. It's right there.
Right. And it looks awfully good. So let's talk about the tools you actually use. And we'll set need aside because that whole need-want argument.
No, need is, need's a really big word because, when you are walking past that, boy, man, I know I really do need this. I really do.
All right, but let's talk about the basics with power tools.
Okay.
What are the most useful things you have in your workshop?
Well, we maybe shouldn't say my workshop because since we talked the other day, I did have to clean it out to find half of the stuff that I have. A lot of them I say, geez, I've been looking for that. Now, for 2 years, I've been looking for that, but I still didn't need it. But anyway, okay, probably the most used one that I have is a good cordless drill impact driver set. So, you can buy the ones that are a lot of times you can buy a set with a drill, and it may have maybe a cordless circular saw along with it, and they're like $100, $120. You're getting what you pay for. They're more of a I would look at it as kind of a temporary or a throwaway, only because if you use them very much, they don't last very long. It seems like the batteries go out.
If you're going to use a cordless tool, you need it to be something that actually charges well and lasts.
And the batteries last. And then when you want to go buy a battery, half the time the battery's almost the same price as buying the whole doggone kit again. I tell you, when I was teaching, we bought a good name brand, not really a commercial, but the better name brands for heavy duty work. And it's surprising how long they lasted, especially the batteries, and how much abuse that they've taken. So, I usually buy the ones that I have now is like a Makita because I like that brand. But, they sell them in like 1/4 inch, 3/8, half. If you're going to use them very much at all, I would go to a 1/2 inch, 3, because it seems like every time you want to drill something maybe a little bigger, it ends up being a 1/2 inch, and you're looking around, and then you end up going over the other side of the shop and grabbing a big old 1/2 inch drill, and then you're lugging all the cords. It just defeats the purpose. So you might as well get a 1/2 inch. And what's really nice about those is they have, different like torque settings. So you can adjust it in certain conditions that you don't want to just, zip something through soft material. Then when it gets a certain resistance, it just kind of clicks and stops. I've really found that now that I have the impact one, that's strictly just it's an impact drill, but you can put, sockets with it, with the right bit. You can, put a socket to change your blades on your lawnmower or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's very compact.
And I'm sorry. I don't understand what an impact drill is. What does that
good.
Mean?
See, that's why we're doing this. An impact.
So I can shop for you.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah. This is exactly. I'll tell you exactly what model you're going to need. Even the SKU number. So, you know, let's say when you're driving by a gas station or a tire shop or something, you hear that vroom, vroom noise like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a lot of static about that one now. It's what it is it because it goes tick, 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 but it's very fast. And it's impacting, it's pushing, but it's turning and it's kind of hammering that nut loose.
Okay.
And they're really good.
So
too.
It really gives you extra torque.
Yeah. Well, it does because it's slapping it and then pushing it to kind of at the same time. And somebody will probably say, well, you're all wet. But that's my version of it. And so then, you know, you don't have to have a hand wrench out there or a socket and a wrench. That's where it's really handy because a lot of the times, especially like I say, if you've got a lawnmower, it's got like, say, three blades, you know, a bigger deck like that, crawling underneath that thing or, you know, lifting it up and – and especially on a hot day, you just want something that you may have to get it started with a socket, but then you can just whoop like that and it's off.
Okay. All right. So a really good cordless drill is an essential on your list.
Yeah. And if you want to go ahead and get the impact, you know, you can buy that in a kit a lot of times. And so then you end up with a charger, two tools, and two batteries. Excuse me. And the neat thing about the better ones is my charger, actually, when you put the battery in, it does this little song. And so you can tell it's charging. And then about, I'm not kidding you, like 20 minutes later, you hear it again. And then you know
it's fully charged.
That's fully charged.
Nice.
And the really good ones charge very fast. And it's pretty hard to use up the other battery in the interim.
Nice. Well, that technology has come so far.
It's just really neat, you know. And you can recycle those and take them back and recycle them. So that helps a lot.
All right. So beyond the drill, what else? What else are essential?
Okay. You know, a really good circular saw. Circular saws are just, a power tool that if you're going to do any woodwork, you know, build decks or any carpentry work at all, that is going to be so handy. And when you mix a good blade in with it, it's amazing how much work that you can get done, how clean it is. And one issue, though, is you really want to read the directions. If you're scared of a tool, some people are scared of power miter boxes. Really what a power miter box is a circular saw and this big arm, and it comes down and it's bigger and you do a lot of trim work with it. But a circular saw, you have to understand that when you're cutting that the blade can get pinched, and if the blade gets pinched, it can kick back. And so when it kicks back, if you're not really hanging on to that and you're not used to it and you're scared of it too, it can come back, you know, cut you in the leg. You know, I've got friends that have had terrible horror stories. But, you know, once you get used to working with it and read the directions and do some research on, you know, which direction to come from on cutting a board and what part of the board should fall away. You know, it's kind of like the old Tom and Jerry cartoons when they would cut a tree limb and, you know, one little piece would fall off and the whole, you know, or the tree would fall away and a little piece would stay there. You have to realize which way the saw is going to lean and how it's going to pinch. That's the only thing about circular saws, and you've got to be sure and wear safety glasses
now,
with it.
With circular saws, and you were talking about a power miter box, mm-hmm. you can get a sort of a table-mounted saw. Are there flexible ones so you can get a circular saw that you can mount on a table but you can take it away, or do you need both?
Yeah, that usually gets kind of cobbled up. So if you just have a small hand saw, you don't need – they sell big 8-inch ones in that. I like a 6.5 or 7-inch circular saw, and they make left and right handed. I mean, people thought we were joking when we said, okay, we need a left handed, and yeah, right, you know, okay. But they make lefts and rights. So
no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, seems like it'd be a lot safer if you're actually working with your dominant hand.
And it does. And what's really funny is, I don't know if other guys have found out, but I actually like using a left hand better because on a circular saw, when you use a left hand, you're actually looking at the blade instead of looking over the saw. Mm. And so right-handed is the blade's on the right hand of the saw. So you're kind of – some people, to see their line, they either look through the saw, you know, or they look around it. And when they look around it, then that kind of puts the saw back in. If it kicks back, it's going to come back and hit you. So one of the things I would recommend, especially for a beginner, is don't buy a worm drive saw. They're a commercial saw. They're very heavy. They're made basically for a lot of framing. A lot of carpenters like them because, you know, once you get used to it, it's easy to cut with. But when they kick back, it's sometimes pretty catastrophic, and they're very heavy. So, you know, find a nice lightweight one. But there again, don't look at, oh, hey, look at this. Got this cool little laser light on it. That's just a little gadget. So you just want to find more of a good light commercial saw. That's going to probably last you for many years. You know, we've got some saws still at the college that we bought in the 90s, and they're still using them.
All right. So anything else on that list before I ask my next
for
question?
For power?
Yeah.
Yes. Air compressor. An air compressor, you know, even the small, these little pancake ones, the ones you can carry are so doggone handy. I mean, the ones with tall tanks, they're not handy. The small pancake ones are great. And most of the time, all you need is a 50-foot hose. And you, with the pancakes, you know, if you're working like shingling yourself, you carry that up on the roof and it's fine. It doesn't use a lot of power. Usually, though, the hose that comes with them, that comes with the package, you might as well take it off and cut it in little teeny chunks and throw it in the garbage, because all it does is make you mad in the winter. And here's what you need to do for the guys that, you know, don't like that. Have your wife use it. And like 2 weeks ago when it was 17 degrees out, and say, dear, would you roll that hose up for me? And then you just kind of sit back and laugh and then go, you know, I could really use one of those for my birthday. And then magically that hose shows up for my birthday. So that works pretty good.
Sound like a man who's speaking from experience.
Yes, very. Yeah, and right along with that is a nice wet dry shop vac. You know, those are really good starts because you can keep things clean, and as long as you have good storage. You know, I've really found that if you store everything and keep it all organized, which I'm very bad at, but if you keep it all organized, you don't end up buying a lot of extra stuff. Like duplicates, like
right.
Why do I need 20, concrete trowels? I have no idea, but they're there.
Right, because you couldn't find one.
I couldn't find them the day that
needed,
yes, right. Yes.
Yeah, I think we've all been there, most of us at least.
You know, if you want to keep going, I've got a whole big list in case, you know, there's some listeners out there. Boy, Bill, he'd be a great guy to buy for.
Okay, well, you know what? We've got a minute left before the break, so tell me something that you've spent money on that you've only used once or twice.
I bought a very nice power sharpener, a wet sharpener. It's got a real neat stone on it. It goes round and round. And then you can put your planer knives on it. And it said you can do your mower blade. And it was like $350, but I'll tell Donna, I only paid like $20 for it, okay? I used Cabela's points or something. But I spent all that money. And seriously, I only used it once, and I couldn't sharpen anything with it. I'm so bad at it. And so it's sitting down on the floor. Yeah. If somebody wants to sneak up into my shop, please take it. I'm tired of tripping over it.
All right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the tools that you need, the tools that you will love and use, and the tools that will just sit there and collect dust. We will also answer your questions. Of course, you can join us. 866-780-9100 is the number to call, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Pow, pow, pow.
Power tools.
Pow, pow, pow.
Power tools.
Everybody twist.
Better bring us in when the job's going slow. We're all charged up and ready to go.
Pow, pow, pow.
Power tools.
Pow, pow, pow.
Power tools.
Mandy and the tools are breaking.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We've been talking about the tools that he feels are essentials in his workshop, the tools you really will use if you spend the money on them, and then the ones that will just collect dust or sawdust.
And we have a big list of those, too, but right. We won't go over those anymore.
All right. And, of course, Bill's also here to answer your questions. We want to hear about your must-have tool, what you think should be on the list, but, of course, you can also ask your questions. questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, before we move on to the phones, I want to ask you one more thing. And that is, if you have someone in your life who's just starting out, or maybe you're just starting out, you've got your own place for the first time, and you want to put together a list of tools, not necessarily power tools that you want, or you want to equip somebody with the real essentials, what do you need?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the best things to get someone, especially when they move to a new place and they don't have any tools, or it's a young couple that are just getting started, is a really good stepladder. You know, it depends on how large or expansive your house is, but, you know, usually a 4 to 6 foot stepladder, and get a good fiberglass stepladder. If they have to reach a long ways, you know, then you can buy them maybe an extension ladder as well. But look for, especially for the weight ratings, usually, you know, the kind of the pinkish color ones. You want something that's going to hold, you know, 250 pounds plus. And because it's amazing how many people will just buy one and they don't know what the, you know, that this one only supposed to be 175, and then you got a big boned guy walking up and down, it's 300 pounds, and you wonder why the, you know, getting a little shaky. but you know, it's really good for, you know, even just doing light bulbs and, you know, maybe cleaning top of cabinets. And even now with, I've found it very helpful for, you know, like getting into the back of your pickups or something, or getting something out of a pickup. It's hard to get into the back for a lot of people if you have something in there that you need, so you can reach over the sides if you have a stepladder. You know, another good thing is, of course, like a shop vac as well. But if you have a nice storage cabinet for tools that people can start buying you, if you know, in the future, you know, one that has a lower unit and one has a top with drawers in it, because
so you actually start being organized at the very beginning? Oh, yeah. That sounds brilliant. I should have done that 20 years ago.
I've learned from my son-in-laws that I'm not the best at keeping things organized, especially like little wrenches. There again, if you need a half-inch open-end wrench, I probably got 100 of them, but can I find one right now? No. You know, and then you know what you have, you know, like utility knives. You know, it's a real simple thing, but how handy they are. And don't buy those super fancy flip ones. Just buy a nice, simple Stanley that you move the top back and forth and the blade goes in and out. You know, don't get these fancy, they always break, they're too bulky, you know, things like that. And, you know, a cordless drill. But, you know, one thing that really comes in handy is a really good extension cord. So go ahead, bite the bullet, buy like a 12 gauge, like a 12-3, like a 100 footer. I know people say that's way too long, but when you want to go from one side of the house to the other, because I don't know where the receptacles are that actually will run a power tool, because right, a lot of the receptacles on, especially an older house, you plug it in, you go click, and then you're going back and forth all day, you know, flipping the breakers. So get a good one in, and a lot of guys go ahead and buy the one that has like three receptacles on the end of it, a 100 footer that has. So then you're not constantly, you know, unplugging this, plugging that. And,
right,
and you can go from the house out to the curb if you want to do something. So, you know, those are very basic, but, you know, get the screwdriver sets, you know. Get the good ratchet set. Get like 3/8 and half. And then if you have any, well, you might as well just go ahead and get a good metric set as well, because a lot of the things when you buy them is surprising. Allen wrenches, you know.
But they give you one at IKEA.
Yeah, but theirs must be an IKEA specific, because when I try to use that one on something else, it doesn't fit. So go and you know, and buy a, you know, a small set of those, and good safety glasses, and you know, ear protection as well.
Well, and that was we've got a message from that from Manuel. He says, "I know this isn't about power tools, but I can't express enough the importance of proper safety equipment, especially eye and hearing protection while using them. I'm religious about using them, and I see so many people not using them, sadly." And I think particularly for people who are just starting out, that's not necessarily number one on the list when they're looking for a tool and they're trying to get a job done. And
no, and you know, it's surprising how many times things do happen, you know. And a long time ago, I had a large ring shank nail I was pulling out of a board came up came out of the board and it went through my glasses. And all I can remember is looking out my right eye and seeing this 12-inch thing hanging down out of my left eye. And I was so lucky that the glasses slowed it up enough and it went over the eyeball and under the eyelid and it was just hanging there. No blood or anything, you know, nothing like that. But if I wouldn't have had those glasses on,
right, and you would have lost an eye.
And so many times, you know, when we were teaching, you know, in fact, if they weren't wearing the glasses, like I had them write a, you know, 2 or 3 page story about, I'd pick a topic they didn't like and then they'd have to write it and hopefully they'd remember to wear their glasses. How many times when you're working, you have something hit it and you go, boy, I'm really glad I have those on. That, you know, his point is right. I think that's one of the most important, probably the most important thing if you're out there. And buy a good set. Don't go out and buy these little $2 things that when you lay them, I swear, you lay them in the grass and they're scratched. And try them on because it's really hard to impress on people to wear safety glasses when it fits up against their above their eyebrows and then they fog over immediately. I mean, I had that a lot with students. They'd put them on, well, I can't see anything because they'd fog over.
Right.
So
you're not going to wear them if they don't work.
No, they won't because they say, well, what's worse? You know, and okay, they've got a point. So try different pairs and make sure there's good ventilation but yet really good eye protection.
All right, well, let's get to the phones and you can join our conversation with your must-have tools or your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Steve is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Steve.
Hey, all right. Yeah, hey, I agree with you 100%. Power drill is the most used item ever because you can add different attachments like flap discs, sanding discs. You can add polishing arbors to it. You know, obviously the drill is the most used item that I use. But I also want to say a great mention on the air compressor too because that's a great extra tool to have in the kit, but I want to disagree about the skill saw.
okay, here we go.
Yeah, okay. All right. I think the jigsaw is the second most used item because with a good jigsaw, you can do all the things you can do with a skill saw, plus then some. It acts as a bandsaw. It acts as a scroll saw to go around, you know, tight curves.
Yep.
You can still make your right angle cuts.
Yep.
You know, you can still do angled cuts, rafter cuts. If you have a square, and also it can act, in some circumstances, it can act as a reciprocating saw. You can actually get the blade up in there and cut through walls and cut metal off and things like that. So I just want to say that get a good jigsaw, and I think you'll find yourself, it's a quick go-to more so than the skill saw. Yeah.
Right. It really depends on what people use. The neat
and
thing
of course
is,
you have both, Bill, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. but the really good point is the other thing he's bringing up is the reason, you know, the jigsaws in the past, they had really junky blades. But now, you know, they have so many different blades. You can cut tile, you can cut concrete, you know, you cut steel, you can cut anything with them anymore. Same thing as with a reciprocating saw. Especially like in the drill he mentioned, you know, you can just get a small attachment and then you can drill at 90 degrees. They have so many really good attachments and he's right. You know, every tool in any person's hand, that's their go-to tool. That's just what I'm used to. And because the jigsaws, I've got a really nice one because I got tired of the junk ones, and you can do about anything with them, just like you said.
All right,
yeah?
Steve.
All right, Steve. I'll get you my address later so they can. I need a new one.
All right, Dennis is on the line next from Ames at 866-780-9100. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, yes. I wanted to express my recommendations to two tools. One of them is not a power tool, but I find it to be very handy. It is a good quality pair of pliers, especially the Nippix Alligator 7 1/4.
Yep.
I find that they are the most used tool out of any that I have. Anytime I need to do any wrench-type work or simple twisting, bending, pulling, they fit in my pocket and they're right there. The other one that I really enjoy using is a good quality reciprocating saw. I use it more than a circular saw for just about anything.
Yep.
It's just a great tool to have.
They are, and there again, it, I recently got a cordless. I bought a cordless one because I found myself, you know, needing for pruning. And going out, you know, where just branches, say, like an inch or so, they were a little bit too big for the nippers, but yet a little bit too small for a chainsaw, and you didn't want to rip it up. So I was, you know, getting a pruning blade with the Sawzall and, you know, the reciprocating saw. And you're right. It's just that particular tool, you could do if you just sat down and got the right blades, you could do everything that you did with a circular saw or jigsaw. Yep, you're right. And you know, he mentioned the pliers. You know, when you get a good set like he's talking about that kind of locks around the nut and it has, like you said, the alligator the teeth and everything like that, it's amazing what you can do with those. And then you can pile on top of that and a very good set of vice grips. I tend to find that they're really good. It's kind of we'll call it a McAnally wrench, because you can just use that on anything, okay, and any size. And a lot of times, you know, you can grab a bolt, not just the head, but you know, grab the side of it and pull it and wrench it around and get a good grip on something. And sometimes you'll use it to, you know, hold things together, or even put a flag on the back of some lumber, some small pieces to hold the flag on it. No, these are great. These guys, we're going to have our own little club here going
right,
pretty quick.
Right. And of course, with the pliers, you have to be able to keep track of them.
Yes.
Which is the other part of that. Dennis, thank you
so much
for your call. Next up, we will go to Jan in Iowa City. Hi, Jan.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Gals.
Hi. What's your question?
I've got two questions. One is about safety goggles. Whether you need to wear the goggle kind, I'm comfortable with the hard plastic ones that have the shield that goes kind of a triangle on both sides as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the goggle ones drive me nuts, so I'm wondering if there's a significant difference there. And then I have a comment and question. Being a woman and not having as much upper body strength, I find that there's a huge difference between my ability to use tools according to the weight and their balance.
Mm-hmm.
I have a circular saw that's very light and I can use, but most circular saws I would be too clumsy with. So maybe you could talk about ways to do that for people who have less upper body strength. Maybe the portable ones are lighter. I don't know. But anyway, those two questions.
You know, that's a really good question. First, I'll do the safety goggles one first. The only reason I don't like safety goggles, for me, they tend to fog up. But then you come right back, and when you wear safety glasses, depending on the weather, they may fog up if they don't fit. But then I also find that when you're cutting wood and it may be very dry out, that it seems like that the sawdust actually comes up and gets a layer on the inside of the glasses. I don't know if it's just me or the shape of my noggin or what's going on, but it seems like it pulls a lot of dust up around my eyes, because I'll buy glasses that fit over my prescription glasses. You know, if you go and try a lot of different ones on, I know that there's some that fit a little better, but I do like the goggles when they're a lot better price and they're vented by better price, and I should say almost worse price. But you know, you get up into more of a commercial type, they're not going to fog over. And if you do a lot of work, and then it's just in the shop. I know a lot of guys go ahead and get the ventilated ones, like a power vented one that keeps the dust and everything away, and also the moisture as well. But you've got to have one or the other. I mean, I know the hard plastic ones, the higher priced ones fit better. They actually look better. You get them in different tints, and they actually kind of –
It's part not of their, about style, though.
Oh, yes, it is. And then part of it actually comes around, looks like a fire engine, kind of a wing coming up around the sides to cover the side of your eyes. They actually work very well, too. But what was the other – boy, I got so wound up on – come on, help me. Help
me
up,
Jan. The second question was, if you don't have the upper body strength,
is there a saw
that can help you out there?
Yeah. Now, that's one of the reasons that I've bought a like a wooden handled hammer, a titanium one. They're very lightweight, but yet they drive nails very well. Some of the portable tools, they seem actually heavier, because if they get a real big – battery. So you may want to maybe downsize in, like, say, a portable drill, go down to a quarter inch. They might be lighter, especially if you're not going to drill things that are heavier duty. There are lines, and it escapes me right now. We actually had a vendor at a conference last year. She was selling, it was all complete line of women's tools, because the actual average size of the hand comes into play as well. Mm-hmm. So all of the tools were sized down, so it actually, fit your hand so you could grip, because some of those tools, especially if you have smaller hands, that you're only catching it, say, like with the tip of your pinky and part of your thumb, you can't get your whole hand around it because they're made for...
That's going to be exhausting.
It is, and then you're going to end up using two hands to push it together. So there are lines specifically made for women or smaller men. I mean, it's the same
right.
thing. If your hands aren't that big, you can't handle it. But the circular saw that I bought was it's a rigid brand. It's a 6.5-inch rigid, and I found that one to be very light. I swear, the way it's made, that it feels like it's half the weight of my other circular saws, and I doubt if it is, but it's just the ergonomics of it, the way that.
So it's something else you should get your hands on
it
before
is.
You take it home.
It is, and if someone, these are pretty good money, expenditures. So if somebody has one, or say, can I try one? Because I really want to see when I start it up. Some of these jump quite a bit. So you really want to get a feel for it. But there are some lines that you can buy all of the tools that are more fit to a smaller hand or less leverage.
All right. Well, Jan, thank you so much for your call. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll go to the break with this comment from Stephanie. She says, "This may be common sense, but I find it useful. If you have duplicate hand tools or older ones that you're replacing with shiny new ones, keep the older or duplicate tools in a small toolbox to keep in the house instead of the garage. I often find myself doing small repairs in the house, and it's so much easier to have a dedicated in-the-house toolbox to go rather than having to go out into the garage and dig through all the heavy-duty stuff."
That's right, because when I can't find mine, I go to Donna's and I take that one and never put it back.
Of course. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll get back to your calls. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. I'm here with our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. He is here to answer your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we're talking about essential tools or your favorite must-have tools this hour. And here's a comment. We were talking just before the break about lightweight tools. And Angie from Columbus Junction says DeWalt makes great lightweight tools if you're
Good.
Looking for something to hold up above your head. And
thank you. That helps.
All right. Yep. And did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was going
to
mention, Jan mentioned before the break, upper body strength and that. What was really fun in school was showing students how to move things with leverage and using your brain rather than your back, because, 18, 19-year-old kids, they think they can lift anything and they'll live forever. With a good rope or a good ratchet strap, ratchet straps, a lot of times you just see them used as tie downs. Like if you want to lift something or pull something, when you're trying to pull two things together, just a simple rope. I don't know if very many of you understand what a windlass is, but the farmers used it to tighten fences and pull two things together. You just take a rope around two objects, stick a board in between the two ropes and start turning it, and it tightens and pulls things together. And we did it in school one time, and we did it so hard. We actually snapped the rope just to see how far we could, you know.
Right,
yeah, that big safety thing there, but it was sure a lot of fun.
So work smarter instead of harder.
Yeah, work smart. Yeah, and, you know, like a good bar, you know, a large wrecking bar even, that, or a crowbar or a wonder bar, you know, use your brains, and because you really, most things you do not need a lot of strength. But I'm really glad you mentioned, though, that DeWalt has that line. Because if it's too heavy or it's too awkward, you're going to get hurt. So stick with something that fits and you feel comfortable with.
All right. Here's a comment from Art in Edgewood. He said, when my kids were about 7 years old, along with other Christmas gifts, I would give them a good toolbox with a quality hammer, pliers, and screwdriver set. Every year after that, I would add one essential tool at Christmas. When they flew the nest, they left with a pretty much complete set of hand tools that would cost them a couple $100 to assemble. As a cute sidelight, my daughter at age 9 used her toolkit to switch the lock on her bedroom door with the lock on the family bathroom door, thinking that the privacy lock would ensure her privacy when she was in the room. Much to her chagrin, she was not aware of the safety access built into privacy locks. And then he also says, among the other items mentioned, my essential tool is a Dremel Moto tool for smaller projects, particularly cutting wheels.
There again, and the Dremels have so many really neat attachments that go with them. I like, because, you know, I have a friend that his access, I remember, to getting into the door was just stick his fist through the door, reach in and turn the knob. When they get to that 16-year-old kind of thing,
that's not sustainable over a long time.
Well, they got a new door out of the deal, but no, that's a good point, because Dremels make a lot of really cool tools. And if you do a lot of cabinets, or you want to build some small cabinets, the Craig Jig system is a really neat, simple system to build cabinets and furniture. It's Kreg, and they started in Iowa, so that's pretty neat, but. That's a really good gift, too.
All right. Here's a question from Bill in Moline. I have trim work to do. I've had limited success with a manual miter saw, so I'd like to get a power miter saw. I would like to do some crown molding as well. How necessary is a dual bevel miter saw? Also, is a sliding miter saw handy? There's a huge difference in price between a single bevel and a dual bevel sliding, and I don't know if my skills warrant paying the extra.
I would just go with the single, because all you have to do is know the degrees and the angle to flip the board around and get the same process. If you've got a good sharp blade, you're not going to have a problem. But a sliding miter box, I really like the sliding. I wouldn't go back to just a regular miter box, just a regular compound anymore. I would go with the single bevel, but with a slider.
All right.
And if you're looking at table saws, look at the portable ones now, like some of the major brands. You know, Ryobi makes them. I think DeWalt, everybody makes one now. But it's a folding up table saw that you can hang on the wall, because when you have a table saw, a stationary table saw, that takes up about half of what your car does. And if you're not going to use it that much, a portable one is so much easier, because then you can take it to where you're working.
Are you supposed to be able to fit your car in the garage?
Well, I found out last night at about 9:30 when I was cleaning it out. Yes.
who
knew? Reason.
Right.
I thought this was my area.
All right. Here's a comment from Ryan in Van Meter, a man after my heart. He said, shop radio, a must-have, and not just for the shop. Thanks, Ryan.
Yes.
Important.
Yes. Like you and I have talked before, that when I walk in the door, the first thing that goes on is either the radio or a TV or something to make noise. Because if I've got a CD in there, I it's probably the same one for over a month now.
You're not listening to Talk of Iowa?
Oh, yeah, that too. But, you get the Paul Giamatti, anything with Paul Giamatti. There's another gift, any movie with Paul Giamatti in it.
All right. Here's Steve on the line from Nevada. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
You may have talked about this already. I'm actually down in my shop working, so I missed some of the show because I've had my ear protectors on. I just wanted to say a little bit about larger equipment that I've got and how I acquired it over the past 40 years. My wife keeps coming to me with things that she wants to buy. The first thing was an oak round table for the kitchen. And I commented to her that I could build that if I just had a 6-inch jointer.
This is smooth.
So I bought the jointer and built the table.
Nice.
And the same has happened with the floor model drill press. I built a bed that had something like 100 mortise and tenon joints in it. Ooh. So I needed a drill press. I came by a 12-inch bandsaw in much the same manner, and a router that's mounted in a permanent table. It's tall enough that I can stand at it and work. And I think the tool that I get the most use out of probably is a DeWalt compound miter sliding saw. You were just talking about that, yep, a little bit ago. I can't imagine working in the shop without that.
No.
It's capable of cutting to a 12-inch width on the slider part, but then it's also a compound miter, and I just use the heck out of that.
And you know,
spreading things out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Your turn.
Well, I was going to say, by spreading things out and buying the tool that I needed to do a job, the cost, it would probably scare me out if I added up how much I've got in my shop. But it reduces the cost at any one time, and because you're using that tool a lot for whatever you purchased it for, you learn how to use it pretty well in a fairly short period of time.
You do, and yeah, if you balance that against if you would have bought that piece of furniture, you actually saved money. I'm telling you.
Sure. You guys are birds of a feather.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
impressive. It's a very, very good strategy, Steve.
And you know that it's funny you mentioned that DeWalt compound miter, because that was the other thing that when I was at school, I think that was like the first two. We bought two of those. And that was like in 1993. And I'm pretty sure they still have them in the shop right now. They were bulletproof. And we used them for cutting rafters. You know, we used them for everything, even cutting trim pone. And I couldn't believe how long that deal lasted. And you know, that's the way to do it. Because a lot of people now go on, like, say, Howes or Dot and Bow. There are two websites that they have, like, furniture that, you know, like a reclaimed wood thing, mm-hmm, that's got about $10 worth of wood. They want $1,800 because somebody in New York will buy them. Well, you know, there's where you can start justifying buying more tools. And, you know, I need a thickness sander because I've got to work on this old lumber. But, you know, that is the way to do it, just slowly acquire it.
Right. Steve, thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, thanks.
Rudy's on the line in Ankeny. Hi, Rudy.
Hello.
Hi, what's your suggestion?
Well, I don't think you've talked about the fact that you should buy the same brand of cordless tools.
You're right.
That way you use the same batteries. You know, and you can use them. I've got from Weed Eater to Impact Wrench to Vacuum for the Car to Light, you name it.
Yep.
And all I have to do when I'm going to start a project, make sure I have a battery in the charger and go to town, and you have to worry about it.
Yep. And one other thing I found out the last time I bought a cordless drill was they were in the middle of changing, you know, the style of battery. Not so much, you know, it was still a lithium battery and everything, but the actual shape, so it wasn't going to fit the charger that I had, and it wasn't going to fit all the tools. So they were able to get me the equipment to match, because you're exactly right. It is, you know, if you've got two batteries and a charger, you can get all those different tools. It's amazing how many tools they've come out, Rudy. I mean, I completely agree with you that fit those sets of batteries. That's a big savings as well.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Rudy. Carol's up next in Boone. Hi, Carol.
Hey there, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, this was not about tools. It was about home improvement, actually. So was that all right?
Oh,
sure.
I suppose so.
thanks. Okay, we're building a house, and it seems like the whole process has been coinciding with a lot of wet weather. So a lot of the framing materials have gotten muddy, and I'm wondering about, do those things need to be kind of washed off, brushed off, or something before we put up drywall?
It really depends on how bad they are. If it's just, you know, discoloration, it really isn't that big a deal. It'll dry. The one thing, though, that you do want to make sure before you drywall that is everything is dry. So when they bring in electric heat to do the drywall, mm-hmm, this is something. Just to give you, for instance, on some projects we're doing with the Iowa Economic Development Authority through Green Streets criteria, and that we require that it be either a vent, properly vented furnace or electric heat. It can't be like you know, kerosene heat or those little portable propanes, because all they do is introduce a lot of
damp, isn't it?
Yes,
it's
everything adds extra moisture, so you've got to dry that down before that drywall goes on. So
I'm pretty sure that's in the works. It
okay.
was more just the mud here is so rich and so abundant.
Yeah.
That It's been kind of a surprise. When we built a house before, it was a two-by construction, fast. This is a slower process. So I'm just wondering about...
I would clean it off because I like the aesthetic of it. But if it's just, just a skim that doesn't add any thickness or anything to it. But if there's any moisture to it, then get it off. You know, if it's still a wet, okay. Like if it's a clay, something like that, I'd go ahead and get it off.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, All right. Carol, thanks a lot for your call. And we'll read a few emails here. This is from Ross. He said, as someone who uses tools to make a living as well as in my spare time, I'd like to make a request. My family and friends know that I like tools, and so this gives them the impression that tools make great gifts. Please, please, please stop buying me dollar store screwdrivers, wrench, and socket sets. I already have plenty since they're used so often, and I've bought high-quality ones as they're worth it. I would suggest instead gift cards for higher-ticket items, also items that are commonly lost, worn out, or broken, like 25-foot tape measures, drill bit sets, or even brass and steel brushes for cleaning things, toothbrush size. All right. Ross, sounds like communication is key, or maybe you'd like a book or a nice sweater this holiday season.
You know what? He's exactly right, because you get one of those little cheap screwdrivers and that thing, the tip snaps off or rounds out, and then it just ends up being, like a tent stake or something, or laying out in your yard after you've thrown it and you're going to run over with a mower. So, yeah, get the good stuff. He's exactly right.
All right. This one is from Jamie. She says, I vote for a vibrating saw as my new favorite tool. Once you use it, you wonder how you ever did without it.
Okay. Good.
Right.
Yep, you're right.
Oh, also, a Japanese pole saw. Mine is 1.5 inches wide, 12 inches long, and very flexible. Again, you'll find yourself using it again and again.
If everybody switched to Japanese-type pole saws, it would change everything.
Really?
Because typical hand saw is cut on the push, American style. So that pushes, but you get a lot better control when you pull the blade through, like Japanese saws. A lot of carpenters have switched to them. I mean, they really have. It's funny to see them on site because they're a completely different look, but they're so much easier to operate and do a lot better cut.
All right, well, maybe one for Ross. Maybe he doesn't have one of those.
Ross needs, and you know what? I don't have a good one either.
Thank you, Charity. All right,
yes.
This one's from George in Southeast Iowa. He said, in at least two instances in the past, I've been in need of a specialized tool for one application. Special staple for flooring, undercut saw, again, for flooring installation. I've purchased the needed items and was able to resell them at a profit on eBay, and I don't have them hanging around, never to be used again. Of course, you can also rent tools. You can borrow them from Bill.
Yeah, okay.
there's an etiquette problem
no
there, right?
No guarantee there, though, that they work. Why don't you scrape the dust off of them?
All right, let's go to Randy before we run out of time here. Hi, Randy.
I use a lot of scaffolding for painting in the house, and I even use scaffolding for picking fruit tree products in the orchard, and a good set of sawhorses is essential also.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was on my list for when somebody, moves into a place, a good set of sawhorses if you're going to, really good set of stable ones. But then if you're just going to use them, infrequently, like a fold-up pair, a collapsible pair. But I'd recommend don't buy those collapsible metal ones. They're cheap. But, boy, when you fold the legs up, you're asking for stitches, because it seems like every time I fold them up, I've got blood running all over the place. So, get a good collapsible. But, boy, a good set of sawhorses. And the nice thing about scaffolding is then you can have a good work space of like 5 foot by 7 foot if you cover the whole top of them up. And you're completely right. Those are a good scaffold. And they don't take up much space at all when you store them. But, boy, they are handy.
All right, Randy, thanks a lot for your call.
I need another one of those, too.
Here's a question from Eric. I hope you have time to answer it. Could you tell me the advantages and disadvantages of a table saw versus a radial arm saw?
A table saw I really like because you can rip things with it. So if you can rip things with the table saw, and then you can cut with a power miter box. I know of two instances, one of them that I saw, in fact, one, the third one that I actually saw very close, is when they try to rip materials, which means you're cutting with the grain, that it will grab the wood and throw it. In a local lumberyard that's not there anymore in Fort Dodge, they had one impale a guy. So it'll take things and throw them. And I've got a really good even table saws will do that once in a while if you don't cut right. But a radial arm saw has that tendency, and I think the sliding miter box has kind of taken over that part of the industry. There's you know, some people like the big old radial arm saws, but they're somewhat dangerous. That's my opinion. So
all right, well, we certainly have a long list. Bill McAnally, thank you so much for being here.
We didn't get my address in on this thing, so thank you and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too. Our home improvement expert Bill McAnally stops by once a month to answer your home improvement questions, and of course we'll have him back again in January. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Claire Roth, and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.